Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Last week was chapter 3. This week is the Gospel of John in chapter 4. I had a conversation with a brother preacher in the area this last week, and an evangelical brother preacher, and he heard about the numbers of people getting born again here, and he said, man, God's blessed you guys that way. I'm thankful for that, and I am too, and I know it's God that does it. And he said, our ministry is more of a discipleship ministry, and I, you know what? It just hit me all wrong, because I'm so tired of hearing that. Everybody's about discipleship. Well, I mean, but that's the third, I told him, I said, you know, that's the third part, the third phase of the Great Commission, where to evangelize, baptize, and disciple, all three. Unless you're winning people to Christ, who are you discipling? Are you discipling unsaved people? Or are you discipling people, the same people that have been there forever and eons, and the church is dying and the death rattle is there and it's going to dry up and blow away? We are called of God to present the gospel. What I want to do here in John in chapter 4 here this morning is impress upon you that it's harvest time. There are 7 billion people on this planet, and they're searching for truth. They're searching for Christ. They don't know, perhaps, that they're searching for Christ, but he's the only one that can meet their need. And it's up to us. I remember as an elementary school boy at Sioux Township School, searching for God. I remember there was a group of us boys. We kind of got together. It was a little bit of a clique for a while. We got together at recess, and instead of playing football, we talked about God for just a little bit. It was just a short time in my life, but I remember it. None of us had any answers. None of us. We just kind of hoped. At that same time, my mom was getting involved in Garner Ted Armstrong. Actually, at that time, it was Herbert W. Armstrong. The Plain Truth, The World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. I don't know any of you are old enough to remember the Plain Truth magazines and all of that. And she sent money in, but he never got to her the gospel. Because, of course, it's a cult. And there are so many cults and so many isms and so many wasms in the world today, nobody knows what to believe. And I am telling you, the hours, the days before Jesus comes again for his church, it's harvest time. Amen. In John in chapter 3, we read last week of a man searching for God. He was a priest, a member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, and his name was Nicodemus. And I believe that Nicodemus got born again. And Nicodemus, Jesus explained to Nicodemus what being born again is all about. So salvation, the gospel, is for the Jews. But I want you to also know, Jesus said, it's for the Gentiles as well. It's for the whole world, male or female, rich or poor, no matter who you might be, no matter what your background is, no matter what kind of baggage you have, it's for you. Let's go, before we read anything, before we stand and pray, look at the 16th verse of John in chapter 3, which of course is 25 of the greatest words ever penned and ever written and ever spoken. For God so loved the world, he says the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for salvation. John in chapter 4, we're going to read about the woman at the well. Stand with me, please. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his own son. Now Jacob's well was there. Let's have a word of prayer right there. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, and it isn't important that I speak with fancy words, and it's not important that I'm eloquent this morning. As a matter of fact, if you leave me, I won't be eloquent at all. What is important is that the message of God's word is exegeted, explained, and understood. I pray that everyone here would recognize the fact that this is harvest time. There aren't 4 months and then the harvest. It's right now. And Lord, would you work in our midst, save souls, and make Christians hungry for getting out the truth? Lord, may we understand we've got the truth and we've got to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, look at verse 35. Verse 35, chapter 4. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I already prayed, but look, while you're standing, look at me. All right, and here's what Jesus is saying. Don't say the harvest is tomorrow. The harvest is now. Go ahead and be seated. We've been seeing a lot of people get saved. We have had 12, I count them, that I'm aware of. 12 people born again in the last month. We had 8 people saved last Sunday morning. We had a Maplewood Baptist Academy high school student get saved this last week. We've been baptizing right along for about a month now. We baptized a couple weeks ago. We baptized last Sunday night, and people have gotten saved as a result of seeing others in their family get baptized. Boy, I rejoice in that. When Jackie got baptized, her extended family came to see her get baptized on Sunday night. They heard the gospel, and 3 of them got saved that night, recognizing something had taken place in Jackie's life. And it wasn't the baptism, that was a picture of the salvation that already took place. When Diane got baptized, her husband came and others came. He heard the gospel. As a matter of fact, Greg, I haven't told you Butch's story yet, but you sat with him at a table downstairs with some coffee and donuts or something afterwards, and you asked him if he wanted to get saved. He told me this, and he said, no, not right now. And you gave him a gospel tract? He told me on Friday that he read that gospel tract when he got home and he prayed that prayer. Amen. And he said, but he did say this, but I was struggling in my head with really what it was all about. And then when you preached on what born again is last Sunday morning, it clicked. When you said it was a heart thing and not a head thing, he said it clicked. And he's going to get baptized tonight. Amen. I'm excited. He said right there, I'm excited for him. This is harvest time. You know, this is the time, and Lord willing, some people are going to see him get baptized. That's what getting baptized is all about. It's evangelism. It's telling other people, I identify with Jesus. I testify of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. I'm now born again. And I say all that. We've seen a lot of people get saved, and every church goes through cycles. And right now, I'm telling you, don't say 4 months from now. Don't say, oh, next week. It's right now. I want to challenge you because the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. Our friends of ours that are listening, maybe watching on live stream, listening to the radio broadcast, maybe you're here in the auditorium this morning. I just want, here's what it's about. We just want you to know Jesus. We just want you to know that you're born again. 2 Sundays in a row, very elemental message. But we all need to hear the gospel. That's like the hymn writer said, I love to tell the story. You know, those that know it best, that we all love to hear it over and over again. Every time I see somebody get born again, I vicariously relive my own salvation experience and recognize God is good. This is harvest time. There are people that are hungering. And just like was said in for the special number this morning, what they need to hear, who they need to hear about, is Jesus. I got a piece of leather up here in the pulpit that keeps my Bible from sliding around on this hardwood up here, and it's embraced right across the top of it. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's important for all of us to remember. The gospel. It's what the 7 billion people of this planet need. They don't need more money. They don't need another government handout. They don't need somebody to tell them what to put in their body and not put in their body. They don't need that. They need Jesus. Man, that's the bottom line. It's got to be more than, you know, making the earth a better place to go to hell from. You need Jesus. Jesus. You need to be born into the family of God. Okay, let me just kind of run through this very quickly. And I pray, and I pray like you. And would you pray for me that I would make this very, very clear? The Lord is going to meet this woman at the well. In order for him to go to Galilee from Judea, he is to cross through, the direct route is right through Samaria. But the Jews avoided Samaria because they were half-breeds. Not only were they half-breeds as far as being Jews, the other half of them, they were Assyrian. These were people that hated the Jews, and the Jews likewise them. They were ruthless as warriors. In fact, that was the plan of the king, and he had the Assyrians breed into the Jewish nation, hoping to defeat Israel from within. So there were those that were full-blooded Jews that looked down with disdain on those that were Samaritans. They couldn't help what they were. They're born that way. And just like you and I, we're born sinners. We can't help that. We're sinner by fact, and we're sinner by act. Nobody has to teach a baby how to sin. We're there. We're already there. We're sons and daughters of Adam. And so they were born that way, and Jesus knows their soul is precious, and that God in heaven wants them saved. And so instead of taking the long trip like all the Jews did to go around Samaria, he went right into Samaria. Let's pick up reading with verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied on his journey, sat thus at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. I don't know if it was the Roman sixth hour, which I believe it was, because this is written to the Gentiles, which would be 6 o'clock at night, and that's when the women would come and draw water from Jacob's well, or if it was the Jewish hour of noon. But it says here he was wearied, and it was the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her. By the way, they didn't even talk normally. Give me to drink. Now, that's not harsh and it's not blunt. He's thirsty. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew? I don't know if she recognized him by his accent, Galilean accent, or being a Galilean, they wore a blue trim on their clothing. But she knew that he was not a Samaritan. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And by the way, again, that is an understatement. The Samaritans were undesirables, just like me and just like you. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves the undesirables? That he came to seek sinners. That he died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to the Samaritans. And I remind you that the gospel crosses racial lines. The gospel crosses financial lines. There's no barriers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Boy, this is big. He gets right into it. If thou knewest the gift of God, 8 times in the Bible is the gospel is referred to as a gift. A gift. If thou knewest the gift of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. No, but is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, very powerful. Salvation is a gift. You don't buy it. You don't earn it. You just receive it. You know, there's 2 kinds of people in this world. Those that have that gift and those that don't. That's it. That's all heaven sees. The saved and the lost. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's all there is. Among those people that don't have life, that aren't born again, there's 3 kinds of lost people, but they're all lost. There are those that have never heard. God help them. There are those that have heard, but they never understood. God help them. And there are those that have heard and have rejected. God help them. All 3 are lost. They're all the same as far as you and I are concerned. We're to reach them with the truth. Jesus saves. He says again in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, boy, if you only knew Jesus, And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Not the water from that dirty old cistern. And that's all it was a cistern. It just collected groundwater is all it did. All right. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, but 100 feet deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Maybe she kind of said this sarcastically. Maybe searching for the truth. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever, I like that word, there it is again. Amen. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. And by the way, the word whosoever means anybody. Heaven is not for the religious elite. Heaven is not for a certain denomination. Heaven is not for a certain heritage or a certain nationality. Whosoever means whosoever. It means anybody that will take the gift of eternal life. Anyone that will take that living water and drink of that living water. Let's read on. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It won't be water from a cistern where they just kind of collected groundwater. This is a well, this is a spring that is bubbling up, and they'll never die, and they'll never go to hell, and they'll never lose touch with God if they truly get born again. It'll be a well springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus not only saves, he satisfies. He'll meet your every need spiritually. And then it spills over into the physical as well, because our God is a very, very good God. Nothing and no one satisfies like Jesus. You ever see a little German Shepherd puppy with a belly full of milk? Just kind of lay down beside the bowl of milk or down beside their mom. Big fat belly. They're all belly and big head and belly. That's all it is. And four little feet come out. And they got that. They're almost smiling. That's satisfying. And Jesus is even better than that. It's like grandma's chocolate chip cookies. Grandma asked the little boy, said, man, you like the cookies? He said, grandma, they're so good. I don't know whether to eat them or smear them all over my face. That's how Jesus is. He is that good. I'm telling you, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're not born again, come on in. The water's fine. You won't know until you get there. But if you'll take that gift of eternal life, and Jesus, the Messiah, is offering it to a Samaritan. That's how we get in. Let's read on. Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said, whosoever. Verse 14, he said, whosoever. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus, and just like Nicodemus, she wasn't quite comprehending it. Nicodemus thought that Jesus was actually saying, can I enter again into my mother's body and be born a second time? He said, listen, I'm speaking of spiritual things. You're born physically and you need to be born spiritually, born of the Spirit of God. She said, well, how can you help me get this water that I never thirst? You can't get down into that well. You don't have anything to draw with. He said, listen, I'm not talking about this physical water. I'm talking about spiritual water. I'm talking about being born into the family of God. He'll satisfy. He saves and he satisfies and he secures. Let's go on. Let's read another verse. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, give me this water that I thirst not. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. The point is, salvation, and it needs to be explained. It needs to be understood. Because we have so much baggage we can misunderstand. Now, this will basically be the bulk of the message, what I'm going to preach right now. All right? And I'm going to tie it up by trying to get you to understand that right now, it's harvest time. There are a lot of people that don't understand salvation. Because we have so much baggage. I was told and my heart grieves about this, but it happens. I know it happens. At one of our sportsmen's dinners, we had like 500 people out there in the gym. The preacher stood up, clearly preached the gospel. A lady crossed paths with a guy that was, she asked, "Are you born again?" He said, "Oh yeah, I'm born again." I raised my hand at that sportsman's dinner. Now, if he thinks, and I don't know this, if he thinks that got him into heaven, that doesn't do it. It's a hard thing. So I'm explaining it to you again this morning. Jesus said you've got to be born of the Spirit. It's a heart thing. And whosoever will may come. It is really that easy. Jesus said you drink of the living water. And not the physical water, the living water. And again, it's a heart thing. He's using earthly things to describe spiritual things. And if you'll come to Jesus, you'll understand. Now, so that this woman at the well completely understood. She said, "Well, give me this living water." And she said, "Go get your husband." He said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I have no husband." He said, "You're right. You've got five husbands, and you're in the sixth one right now. You can't get saved unless you know you're lost first. You can't get saved unless you know you need a Savior. You know you're lost. It's really that simple." That's what Jesus was impressing upon her. You're a sinner, and you need the Savior. So if you laughingly prayed or laughingly said, "Oh, I received Christ," but there was no guilt for sin. There was no, I don't want you to think you got to work up guilt. If you know you're a sinner, it's that simple. It really is that simple. You recognize you need a Savior. And the truth is, that guy at the sportsman's dinner, if when he raised his hand, he recognized that he's a sinner and that he needs Jesus, and that's just his way of saying, "Well, yeah, I received Christ right here by raising my hand," then he's fine. But if all he did was, "Oh, I'll raise my hand, that gets me to heaven." You can raise your hand all you want. That ain't going to get you. Raise both feet as well. That ain't going to get you to heaven. You know, it's a heart thing. You need to be born again. Go back to what Jesus says to this woman at the well here. Verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the..." There were two different places where they worshipped. Mount Gerizim for the Samaritans and the Jews, they worshipped in Jerusalem. I'm going to skip way ahead of that. Let's go down to verse 28. So she understands, I'm paraphrasing what we didn't read. She understands that Jesus is more than a prophet. He's the Messiah. He is the great I am. He used those words, "I am." If you knew who stands before you, "I am." I am that Messiah. I am the promised one. I'm the one that's going to get you to heaven. And she gets born again. You know why I know she gets born again? The world doesn't matter to her anymore as far as her earthly loves. In verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot." That's why she went to the well, to fill that water pot. She gets saved. She's so excited. She leaves her water pot, runs back into the city, and tells everybody, "Come see a man which did tell me all things ever I did. Is not this that Christ, that anointed one?" The Savior that we've been waiting for. And the whole world is waiting for that Savior. If they just have Jesus explained to them. So here's a whole Samaritan city. She comes running back and says, "I saw him. I saw him. I met him. The Messiah. He's down at Jacob's well." And the whole city comes out. When Jesus says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields," they're all dressed in white. That's the way they dress in the Middle East. It kind of reflects the heat off of their body. And he looks up, and coming out of the city is the entire city dressed in white, and they're making their way down to Jacob's well. And Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't say there's yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Look, there's the harvest right there, right now." Verse 39. Let me read 35 first. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." They're dying on the vine. They're right past. They're ripe, and they're going to die in the fields if we don't harvest them. Jesus said, "Great is the harvest, and few are the laborers." Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The world is hungry for the truth. The fact is, we as New Testament Christians have the truth in our hands and in our beings. We have a heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel, the Apostle Paul said. And now, right now, it is harvest time. How many of you brought to Christ? How many of you ever brought to Christ? We're going to have an altar call. It's going to be very clear. If you're a New Testament Christian, you love the Lord, and you're not a soul winner, come to the altar. Ask God for help. He will help you. Stand for the truth. Spread the gospel. I wrote this down. If God has really done something in Christ on which the salvation of the world depends, and if he's made it known to the New Testament Christian, then it is our duty to be intolerant of anything which denies, perverts, or explains it away. Jesus said, same book, same gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, being a soul winner is the natural thing for a New Testament Christian. And if you're not speaking and sharing the gospel, it's really unnatural if you're born again. It should be spilling out of your body. It should be, oh man, I got some gospel leaking out. Everywhere you go, you just can't help but bring it into the conversation. You just can't help but talk to your loved ones about it because you love them. We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask you, if you're a New Testament Christian and not a soul winner, come to the altar. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to get baptized, you are born again, come and present yourself. We're going to have an altar call. If you're someone that has never been born again, I'll meet you right down here at the front. I'll have someone lead you to Christ. It's harvest time. It's harvest time right now. It's harvest time. You got to get a hold of that. Don't leave the church house this morning and go out and live in the workaday life that you live all week long and never speak the name of Jesus. Never be concerned about people you work around. Never be concerned about loved ones that are not born again. We got to spread the good news. Leave your water pot. Go after people. If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. So you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a hard cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart and save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the good book.